Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings. We'd like to read from 2 Kings chapter 10 and the 15th verse. 2 Kings chapter 10 and verse 15. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing that our help comes from the Creator of heaven and earth, the one true and living God, who is all powerful and all wise. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace that's been shed abroad in our lives, that as we look at ourselves and we realize how weak and frail and how prone to wander we are, and how our minds are not always thinking about what they ought to be, and how our bodies are not doing the things that we should, and we're not laboring as much as we ought to with our hands to be able to help others more, and so many times we're just falling short, Lord, and we ask you to help us that we might be more committed and more dedicated, more full of love for thee. We pray that you would help us to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that you would help us to love our neighbors, ourselves. Help every husband here to love his wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Help every wife here to love her husband and to honor him. And we pray that you would help the parents to be able to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and bless the children to honor their mothers and their fathers. We pray that you would help all of us as a part of the body of Christ, that we would recognize that we're married to Christ, that we're the bride of Jesus Christ. Help us to be faithful to the bride, to the husband. Help us, Lord, to love Jesus and to be faithful to him and to not put other gods in front of our husband. We pray, Lord, that you would help all of us every day, that we might realize the brevity of life, that we're only going to be here a little while. So help us to live each day to thy name's honor and glory. We do beg thy blessings upon all of those who are sick and afflicted. We know that you're the great physician, that you have all power. And we pray that you would bless those that are having surgery during this coming week, that you bless the doctors to be able to administer unto the needs of those that are sick. But above all, we ask that thou, as the great physician, that you would touch and heal and lift up. We know that nothing is impossible with thee. And so we ask you to bless all of those who are sick and afflicted. We pray that you would bless the trumpet of truth as it goes out, that it would touch the hearts of your people. We thank you for the many people that work so hard to get that work done each month, that they are willing to give of their time and their energy to share the truth with others. And we thank you for so many that express their appreciation for those that write and those that work to spread the truth. Again, now help us as we hear the word of God. Touch each of our hearts and bless us that we might understand the word of God. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 Kings, I would like to read from 2 Kings chapter 10 and verse 15. The word of God says, "And when he was departed thence, he lighted on Jehonadab." Now this is talking about Jehu, who was the 11th king of the kingdom of Israel. Jehu is meeting Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him. And he saluted him and said to him, "Is thine heart right as my heart is with thy heart?" That's what Jehu said to Jehonadab. "Is thine heart right as my heart is with thy heart?" And Jehonadab answered him, "It is." Then the scripture says, he said, "If it be, give me thine hand." And he gave him his hand, and he took him up to him into the chariot. This morning, the expression that's on my heart is the expression that Jehu made to Jehonadab when he asked him, "Is thine heart right? Is thine heart right?" And I pray that God will help all of us this morning, that we would ask God to help us examine our hearts. Because if our hearts are not right, then nothing else that we do matters very well or very much. We can go to church every Sunday, but if our heart is not right, even while we are in the house of God, if our heart is not right, then we can't worship God. We can go to the nursing home and visit. We can give money to help people. But if our heart is not right, it's all in vain. So the importance of our heart being right is what's on our heart this morning. One of the songs that Brother David called out that we sang, was, "Holy Spirit, breathe on me." And part of the expression that song expressed in the chorus was, "Take thou my heart," what? "Cleanse every part." That songwriter understood that a self-examination and continuously looking at our hearts, that's very important. We need to look at ourselves and examine ourselves and consider our hearts. Now, man, the scripture says, that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looketh where? He looketh on the heart. He looks at the inward part. He looks at your heart. The scripture talks about not only that God looks on the heart, but it says that God searches our heart and God tries our heart. God examines our hearts. I had a problem, and still do, with my computer, worse than I've had since I've had the computer. Now, there's something wrong with my computer. There's some, I'm not sure, Brother David can tell you all about it, but it's either some bugs or some worms or some viruses. There's a Trojan horses in there. There are all kinds of things that are in my computer, and it's affecting everything I'm trying to do on my computer. I can't email like I would like to, and every time that I think it's pretty well cleaned up, here comes another horse. I sent out an email to everybody on my email list. Everything was doing fine. Brother David had fixed it. Everything was doing fine until this morning. And when I sent that email out to everybody, immediately here comes these flashing things up that said, "Trojan horse," and "you're infected," and all of these things just began to flash up. So I knew something was wrong with my computer. I believe, brethren, listen carefully, Brother David has fixed my computer in days gone by, and it's been just right. And then after a while, what can eventually happen to that computer? Something else can get in it. You see, new problems can arise in your computer. And I believe that in my life, I believe that so many times I clean up my heart and I get the disk drive all straightened out and there aren't any bugs, there aren't any problems, everything is clean. And my heart is right. Have you ever been there that you felt like, you know, my heart is right. My heart is right with God. And my heart is right with my wife and my family and the brethren. And you feel like my heart is right. And I love God with all my heart. And I love my neighbor as myself. And my heart is just right. And then before I know it, you know what happens? The devil comes along and I have an infected heart again. That is, before I realize it, there are little Trojan horses in there. There are things that have begun to happen in my heart, and my heart becomes polluted again. It's infected again. And you and I, as the people of God, we must have some walls and some barriers, and we must have some ways that we can keep things from coming into our heart. And I believe that God has given us the strength and the grace and the wisdom that we need to put up these, what's the word called, Brother David? Firewalls. To put up these firewalls, just like you would do with a computer, we can put up some firewalls in our heart to keep us from being so polluted in our hearts. And so, my question is, have you looked at your heart? Have you looked at your heart? God is looking at your heart. God is examining your heart. God knows what's going on in your heart even right now. Did you know none of you know everything that goes on in my mind or in my heart, but God does know. And God knows what's going on in your heart and in your mind and in your life right now. And God's Word is going to bring everything to light. He's going to show what's in your heart. And by, you will show what's in your heart. The Scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 15 that Jesus is speaking there in Matthew 15 verses 8 and 9 and 10. And He says that Isaiah spoke about the people that Jesus was talking to. And He says, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you that this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their what? But the heart is far from me." Have you ever been there? I've been there. I have been in the house of God and sang songs, and my heart was not in it. And the Word of God teaches us that unless we're singing in the Spirit and singing with understanding, unless your heart is in it, you're not worshiping God. Is your heart right? That's the question that Jehu asked Jehonadab. Is thine heart right? Go with me to Hebrews. Turn to the New Testament, please. To Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. God's people, the Jewish nation, they were blessed abundantly by God. And I believe, brethren, I believe that the United States of America has been just as blessed as the Jewish nation ever was blessed by God. I believe God has opened up the windows of heaven and poured blessings out upon us. We have been the center of religious activity for the past 200 years. God has blessed us just like He blessed the Jewish nation. But as God told the Jews, He said God had blessed them and given them His laws and protected them, and they had been victorious in every battle they fought. They were just going along in great strides, experiencing tremendous blessings from God. But guess what was wrong? What was wrong with the heart of the nation? The heart of the nation was infected. The heart of the nation was polluted. Rather you kill the heart, what happens to the body? It dies. Look at Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. Here, when we talk about the question, is thine heart right? I want us to look for a few minutes now and look and see some ways that we can truly see, now, my heart's not right in this area. How many of you have ever hardened? Is there anybody here that's ever hardened your heart? Now, there are all kinds of ways that we can harden our hearts. And I doubt that there's a person in this building that hasn't from time to time hardened your heart. Look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8. The Word of God says, God's commanding us and telling us, harden not your hearts as in the provocation and the day of temptation in the wilderness. He's reflecting back. He says, look back at the children of Israel. Do you see how they hardened their hearts? And He says, now don't do like they did. Don't harden your heart. If your heart is hardened, if your heart is hardened, is your heart right? No. Sister Jane's a nurse. Sister Nina's a nurse. Are there diseases that can harden the heart? I'm talking about literally, physically, harden the heart. Well, there are spiritual diseases that will harden your heart. One of the biggest problems we have in homes today is the hearts of the fathers are not tender toward the children. The hearts of husbands are not tender toward their wives. The hearts of children are not tender toward their parents. You know what's happened? They've hardened their hearts. You know what needs to happen? They need to fall on their knees and cry out to God and say, "Dear God, soften my heart." Help me to realize the condition that my heart is in. Help me to know that if I continue to harden my heart, help me to know that my life will be destroyed here in this world. And so God tells His people here, harden not your hearts. And then He says in verse 10, God says, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. Are these children of God He's talking about? Yes. Can you err from somewhere you've never been? Can you get away from somewhere you've never been? Does that make sense? You can't err from the truth unless you what? You've been in the truth. You can't err from God. You can't go away from God unless you what? You've been with God. Look at Hebrews 3 verse 12. Hebrews 3 verse 12. The scripture says there, take heed. What's the next word? Brethren. We're talking about children of God, aren't we? Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Now, is there anybody here that has a problem with unbelief in your heart? Unbelief. Sometimes we think we believe. Sometimes I think my faith is so strong, and then something comes along and it rocks me, and I think I'm just going to fall all apart. Sometimes I think I'm trusting in God and my confidence is in God, but the reality is I haven't looked at my heart and I haven't seen the true picture of my heart. I don't know what the problem is in my life. But the scripture says here, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart. Can you, a child of God, have an evil heart of unbelief? It may be the whole heart is guilty of unbelief, or it may be that part of your heart is guilty of unbelief. You may be like the man, and I think all of us to some degree are like the man, who said, Lord, I believe. But what did he also say? Help thou mine unbelief. Well, did he have a pretty good heart in some areas? Were there things that he believed? Were there ways that he trusted God? And yet he said, there's some areas that I'm still infected. So Lord, help thou mine unbelief. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. You might harden your heart, or you might have an evil heart, or your heart might depart from the living God. In any instance, there is a solution to these problems, and the solution is in the next, or turn 2 pages, well, about 10 pages, past where you're reading, turn to James chapter 4. And in James chapter 4, you have a solution to the heart problem. In James chapter 4, verse 8, James chapter 4 and verse 8, the Word of God says, well, verse 7 says, resist the devil. Listen, brethren, if you don't resist the devil, he'll live with you forever. If you don't resist the devil, he'll take up residence in your house. He'll take up residence in your heart, and he'll destroy you. So you have to resist the devil. In verse 7, James 4, verse 7, resist the devil. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And then the next expression is, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Now, brethren, I believe that when we are born again, listen carefully, there's some important truth. When we're born again, God gives us a new heart. But then, after we've been born of the Spirit of God, and God has given us a new heart, it is up to us as God's children to not harden those hearts that He's given us, and to keep those hearts close to God, and that we purify our hands and cleanse our hands and purify our hearts. Can you purify, with the help of God, can you purify your heart? Yes, you can. You remember how Jesus said in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 and verse 8, Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, brethren, I know that in the final resurrection, we're all going to see God, but I believe that Jesus was talking about the people of God who are blessed to see God day by day in their lives. And you can only see God when you have a pure heart. And there are things you can do to have a pure heart. You need to have your heart, the Scripture says in James 5 and verse 8, the Scripture says that we need to establish our hearts. Establish your hearts. Have your hearts fixed. That's another expression that David used in Psalm 57:7. David says, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. Now, he doesn't mean my heart was broken and now it's fixed. When he uses that expression in Psalm 57:7 and says, my heart is fixed, he's saying, my heart is concentrating on you. My heart is fixed on you. My heart is established on you. My affections are on things above and not on things of the earth. That's a fixed. You see, it's fixed. All of you that drive around texting, I'm not saying anything about those that talk on the phone, but if you text on the phone, don't you do that. Of course, you know why I don't say anything about those who talk on the phone when they drive. But I'm telling you, I have sometimes noticed that I am distracted when I am talking on the phone. I have gone places that I don't know why I was down here when I was supposed to be going in the other direction. Well, old age is part of it, because, yeah, I did it before I started talking on the phone when I drove. Old age is it to you, but talking on the phone while you're driving will make it worse. Our hearts need to be examined. When Jehu said to Jehonadab, is thine heart right? Is thine heart right? What a marvelous thing that Jehonadab could say it is. Isn't that good? If I could take each of you one by one, forget me. If God takes each, oh, and he will today, God's going to ask each of you, is your heart right today? Is your heart right? You're in a lab today, and God, who is the doctor, the great physician, he's examining every one of your hearts right now. And he might say to some of you, you got a clean bill of health. You don't have any cholesterol. You don't have high blood pressure. You don't have electrical problems. You don't have plumbing problems. He may say, you got a good heart right now. Could God ever say that of you, that your heart's good right now? Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll look at that in just a moment. He can say, you've got a good, clean bill of health. But did you know, by tomorrow, that same heart that God could say of you today, that's an honest and a good heart. By tomorrow, if you don't keep your heart, you don't protect your heart, if you don't keep those firewalls up, by tomorrow, you could have a polluted, evil, erring, hardened heart in one day. Turning your Bibles to Luke, please turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, we're trying to look at the question, is thine heart right? Is thine heart right? Look carefully at Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8, you have a parable called the parable of the sower. And the seed in the parable of this sower, the seed is the Word of God. And there's another parable where seed represents something else. In this parable, the seed is the Word of God. And he says in Luke chapter 8 and verse 10, I'm going to start there. Well, I'm going to start with verse 11. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. You know what I'm doing right now? What am I doing up here? I'm sowing seed. I'm sowing seed. All of your hearts are represented by ground right here. And while I'm sowing this seed up here, did you know some of that seed is going to fall on some fertile ground? And it's going to bring forth some fruit to perfection. And some of that seed I'm sowing is going to fall on stony ground. And some of that seed I'm sowing is going to fall by the wayside. And some of that seed I'm sowing is going to fall among the thorns and the thistles and the briars. And it's going to choke out the word. there are some of you that when you hear the Word of God on Sunday, guess what happens on Monday? Usually it doesn't wait till Monday. Have you ever had the devil come and take the Word right out of your heart? Have you ever been in the house of God and you thought, God's speaking to me right now. God is speaking to me. And there's something I need to change in my life. You ever been there where God was speaking to your heart? And God showed you something that was wrong in your heart. And you felt like, I'm going to change this. I'm going to do something. And then before you knew it, before you ever carried it out, what happened? The devil came, and what did he do? He took the Word right out of the heart. There are some of you that by Wednesday, you've called me two or three times talking about the sermon you heard on Sunday. There are some of you that after Sunday, we meet together here in worship. There are some of you that go home and your family study what was preached here on Sunday. You study the Word of God on those things during the coming week. And there are some of you that if 10 minutes after you walk out of the building, somebody were to say to you, what did the preacher preach about? You would just have to say, I don't know, but it sure was good. I've had people say, I sure enjoyed your sermon during the week. And I said, what was it about? Don't ever tell me you enjoyed it without expecting me to say, what was it about? So you go ahead and get that lined up in your mind, because that's what I'll ask you. We need to remember, we need to hold on to the Word of God. If I'm not holding on to the Word of God, if I'm not remembering what I've heard, if I haven't held on to the Word of God, something's wrong where? Something's wrong in my heart. Is thine heart right? Are you holding on to the Word of God? Is the Word of God taking root in your heart? Is it bringing forth fruit in your life? Look at Luke chapter 8, verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the Word. What are the next three words? Four words. Out of their hearts. Took the Word right out of their hearts. Is something wrong with your heart if the devil can come along and take the Word right out of your heart? Can you do something to keep the devil from taking the Word out of your heart? Yes, you can. Verse 13 says, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the Word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Verse 15 says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good, what? In an honest and good heart. How do you get that honest and good heart? Well, to begin with, God gives it to you. But how do you keep an honest and a good heart? It takes daily working on keeping that firewall up. Daily working on keeping those Trojan horses out. Daily examining yourself and seeing, is my heart right? And by the way, if you're going to examine your heart by yourself, it'll always look fine. You're going to have to ask God, God, open my eyes that I might see if there's some wicked way in me. You'll never see it if God doesn't open your eyes. Take thou my heart. Cleanse every heart. David, when he, in Psalm 51, when David was weeping so much about the sin in his life, he cried to God and he said, cleanse my heart. Create a new spirit within me. I hope that if God has shown you anything wrong with your heart this morning, I hope that we can all begin praying right now, God, help me to fix my heart. God, fix my heart. Don't you sit down and expect God to fix something He's given you the responsibility to do. Take thou my heart, cleanse every part. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. May God help us to examine our hearts, is my prayer for Christ's sake.